Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Like many places in South Dakota, Sioux Falls is still recovering from last week's storm, which brought flooding and caused damage to homes and businesses around the city. Governor Kristi Noem, Senator John Thune, and Representative Congressman Dusty Johnson have all surveyed the damage. Meanwhile, Mayor Paul Ten Haken is asking Sioux Falls residents to be patient as the cleanup and repairs won't just happen overnight. He is joining us right now in the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. And Mayor Paul, the time for patience is important, but it's also time for preparation, you said in your last Facebook Live communication that I saw. So take us back a little bit and talk to us about cleanup from what was, and then let's look into how we're preparing for what's coming our way.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me. The media and shows like this has been so important in getting the word out to people on what's going on, because I think a lot of people assume that after last weekend, it's like, all right, that has passed. Spring is here. It's getting sunny. It's warm. We're done. And I'll have to admit, I fell into that camp too briefly until yesterday when state hydrologist came in and kind of was the bearer of bad news and said, hey, based on the way this is melting and the snowpack, and we're going to have a pretty significant event here in the next probably week to 10 days. And so there are a lot of people who are cleaning up. They're cleaning up their homes. They're tearing out their carpet. People in the floodplains assume it's behind them. And so we've been working hard to get the message out to say, hey, you need to know that we're not out of the woods yet. We have the potential for even worse flooding than last weekend, this coming weekend. And so patience moves to preparation. It's like, all right, you have to be ready for that again. And it's looking like it's going to be an event. The question is just how severe the event is. And we ran at about 20,000 cubic feet a second, the Sioux River did last weekend. And there's a potential for that to be closer to 30,000 cubic feet per second if the factors all come together in this next event. So it could be pretty bad. So that's what we're asking people to do, is make sure they're making the right preparations for if we do hit peak flows like that.
All right. What does preparation look like? What specifically are you asking people to do?
You know, the first thing people need to know is they need to know if they're in the floodplain. And some people don't know that. They're not sure if they are in the floodplain or not. So residents of the city of Sioux Falls can go to siouxfalls.org/flood, and we have links to the FEMA flood maps. You can just put in your address, and it will tell you if you're there or not. And if you are in the floodplain, you have to be making some plans. And that includes, you know, getting things out of your basement. That includes starting sandbagging. Later this afternoon, we're announcing a couple sandbag operations that we're going to have going in the city. Not only filling, but allowing residents to come pick up. We'll have information on how many they can get, how they're going to return them, the process. We have to have traffic flow and all these things when you have an operation like this. It's not just, hey, we're going to put some sandbags on the corner of 41st and Minnesota. It's a real big operation to pull together. So we have the logistics mostly done on that. So that's another thing people have to do, is start procuring some of those sandbags to protect their assets, mostly of which for a lot of people is their home.
All right. So what is the city doing as far as the cleanup, which is still ongoing, and then into the preparation, you know, as you've got a little time to look ahead?
Yeah. Well, our work has moved out of the cleanup mode back into the preparation mode. Sure. So because we're expecting this to sweep through at least along the river again. What we are doing is in some of those neighborhoods that saw flooding last weekend as a result of the rains we had, they aren't going to see that as a result of high rivers. We kind of have two different types of flooding. You maybe got flooding because your ground was frozen and your sump pump didn't run, and you know you normally get water in your basement, and those events aren't going to be as affected by a high river. The people in the floodplain are going to be affected by that. So we've been bringing some dumpsters and roll-offs and other things to some of those areas that were affected last weekend that won't be affected again, because they can move into cleanup mode and move on mode, if you will. We're basically rebracing our parks and closing parks, things like that, getting them ready for what will be coming on Sunday.
All right. Falls Park is closed. Now it's closing.
Falls Park is closed. Right. It's my understanding this might be the first time we've ever entirely closed the park. But I'll tell you, Lori, it's such a dangerous place right now. And there's people who can understand that danger and heed caution, and there's people who can't. And we just don't have the manpower to police every person down there. People are just drawn to that place when it's dangerous like this and with no barriers or no ways to get close. It's not a great place to be right now. And so I made the decision. I said, we're just going to close Falls Park and we're going to put up barriers and we'll patrol it with a couple of our police officers. But it's a class two misdemeanor to go around a barrier. It's a class two misdemeanor to be at a closed park in a city. So is it, you know, if you go there, you can go there, but you're probably going to get two misdemeanors and you're going to have to pay penalties. And we want you to stay away. And I know it's a majestic sight to see. There's webcams up. There's footage up on the tower. You can see it that way. I know that's not real life, but man, that sure would make the city feel a lot better if we just could ask citizens and to heed that warning to stay away.
Are there things citizens can do to help with sandbagging, for example? Are you looking for volunteers or pitching in that regard?
Yeah, we to date, we've asked for people to call the 211 helpline if they wanted to volunteer. And I'll tell you, I just was reading an email before I walked in here, and we have almost the exact same number of people who have volunteered to the people who have requested help. That's people needing stuff out of their basement. They need carpet torn up. They need sheetrock help. I'd like to see that more like a 2-to-1. I need double the volunteers of the people who need help. So we need more volunteers. And we are going to need volunteers to help with the sandbag operation when we get that set up and running. So right now, if you think you want to help, call 211. Just put your name on the list. Say, hey, I'm willing to help sandbag. I got some sheetrock chops, you know, whatever it is. And then they will line you up with the opportunity. And if you have a need, homeowner or business, you can call 211 and say, hey, come this time next week. I'm going to need some help with this and this. And they'll connect them with the volunteers.
Tell me about your conversation with Governor Noem and the support of the state of South Dakota during this event and the disaster that followed.
Yeah, you know, I've only been in office 10 months and I'm dealing with this. She's been in office 2 months, and I'm sure didn't think she'd be staring down something of this magnitude this early. But the minute we knew this was going to be an issue, I got a call from the governor, and she reached out and said, you tell me what you need. I'm here. I'm ready. We're ready to help. And that's tremendously reassuring to know that you have a partner in peer who's watching what's going on in your city. And so we've been talking. We texted again today, and she actually just closed the Big Sioux River for navigation, which that also is not done very often. So that also shows the gravity of the issue from Game Fish and Parks and from peer for them to do that as well. So that just happened this morning. So we're in touch with the governor's office, several times a day, and especially through our emergency operations center. And so she's been a tremendous resource, really proud of her leadership and honored to have standing alongside us in this.
All right. Tell us about congressional representation, Senator John Thune and Congressman Johnson.
Yeah. So Senator Thune was with us on Saturday, and he toured some of the damage with us as well. He's important, as is Senator Rounds and Congressman Johnson, just because when we issue a federal disaster declaration for our state and we ask for this, for some funding, they need to have seen what the impact is and help lobby for those dollars for our state. So having Senator Thune see that on Saturday was really great. It was great to have him along. I was tied up in meetings this morning, so I was not able to join Representative Johnson, but he toured with my chief of staff and deputy chief of staff this morning for a couple hours, actually. So I haven't had a chance to connect with him. So great to see our federal delegation coming here and seeing what's going on so that when we do, in fact, have to make that declaration, ask for those funds, they have a situational awareness of what happened and what they've seen.
Where do we get to the point where those funds are asked for or those funds are requested?
You know, it's my understanding, again, as 10-month mayor on the job on how this works, is that once the event is finished and complete and we have some idea of the damage, then we make the ask in the declaration. And we thought we were almost there after last weekend, but now we're kind of having to pivot and say, okay, we're not out of the woods yet. And so it will likely be after this next event next week that the governor will be able to make that declaration of FEMA.
Are you getting support and contact from other mayors, former mayors of Sioux Falls, who are reaching out to say, you know, this is what I learned. This is a tip for you to understand going forward.
You know, not so much that. I haven't. I have been in touch with a mayor outside of Sioux Falls who's part of the Bloomberg Harvard cohort that I'm in, who has experienced a similar natural disaster in their community. And we've kind of just been exchanging some texts and bouncing some things off each other, which is comforting to know, hey, you're not alone in this. Other leaders have had to walk through these sorts of battles. But there's no education that you can go through to prepare yourself for this. It's on the job training. And I have taken the approach, and my team knows this, said, let me be a spokesman and let me lead through this, but don't let me get in your way. I'm not going to direct your operations. I'm not going to say where our sandbag operations have to be located. I mean, we have such a talented emergency operations team in the city of Sioux Falls. It's been humbling to watch them work because they're very good, very efficient. They know what they're doing. And so I'm leading where appropriate, but I'm also just standing aside when I need to as well.
And from a communication standpoint, you had been doing these Facebook Live videos for quite some time. And so I kind of, as a citizen of Sioux Falls, as a resident, had gotten used to seeing them. And now that it turns out to be a pretty smart thing because a lot of people are used to seeing them and are tuning in for the latest update. Talk a little bit about communication with people in the city and beyond, really, because so many of South Dakota residents come here for business and travel.
Yeah, I've always known the power of social media because I built a company around it. But now that I see how it can be used in crisis communication settings, it's been incredibly powerful for getting the word out very, very quickly and in a way that's just raw and transparent. It's not scripted. I'm probably later today, I'm going to sit down and just do the same thing and just say, guys, here's what you need to know. These are where the sandbag operations are at. Stay away from the falls. Call 211. Help your neighbor. We'll get through this. And I think people enjoy having that kind of inside access to the office and understanding what we're dealing with and what sort of messages we want to get out. So social media, Facebook specifically, but Twitter's been very effective as well. And not that you gauge it by this, but the number of likes and followers have really increased during this event because I think people are realizing, hey, that's a good source to go to hear kind of straight from the horse's mouth as to what's going on with this this event.
We only have about 20 seconds left. Can you recap very briefly the pothole situation and how aggressively the city is dealing with it?
We got 24/7 pothole crews running right now, six different crews. So we are attacking them. I know they're bad, but Sioux Falls, stay with us. This was a tough winter. The rain and the washout didn't help last weekend, but we're committed to them. We're fixing them.
Mayor Paul Ten Haken, thank you so much. We'll talk with you next week.
Thank you, Lori.
Here when you want to talk to the people of Sioux Falls. We appreciate your time.
You bet.